Did any of you catch last Thursday's episode of Project Runway? Now, it was a new episode, and it was an important episode, where the top five contestants were narrowed down to the four who will design a collection of clothes to show at New York Fashion Week. Now, I will admit that I am a fan of the show. I've been a fan of the show since it first aired, and if you haven't seen this reality show, the basic premise is that a dozen fashion designers from across the country travel to New York City, and for several weeks, day in and day out, they compete against each other by making clothes. There are challenges, goals, themes that they have to follow, and the overall objective is to survive each week, making the best clothes under extreme time pressures, wow the judges, and then design a collection for Fashion Week. If they win, they get money and fame. Now, I've probably watched most of the episodes, and I love it because I find the people interesting, their story is compelling, the drama between people entertaining, and I love watching them compete and doing things I can't do. There is immense amount of creativity on display in the field of fashion where, honestly, it feels like every season, it all changes. So this week, one of the contestants, named Sean, made this amazing all-white outfit. The top had cutouts, the skirt was angular and reminded me of a piece of metal, and the outfit blew the judges away. And when I watched it displayed on my TV, I was reminded of this reading from Matthew. Because there is a scene in this parable told by Jesus that is all about clothing. This parable is traditionally called the parable of the wedding banquet. And there's a moment in this parable, after the king has invited the whole city to this party after he possibly destroyed their city, that a person shows up at the party and he's not dressed right. He's not dressed for the wedding. So the king confronts him, and the poorly dressed person doesn't reply. So the king throws him out of the party into the darkness, into a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, on first glance, that seems a little harsh. I am sure I am not the only person who has attended a party or an event and realized they were underdressed. Maybe we went to a wedding thinking business casual would be enough for a black tie affair. Or we just took a quick trip to the grocery store late at night in our pajamas, thinking we wouldn't run into anybody. And then we run into an ex-boyfriend, or maybe our boss. Now, we might feel a lot of shame at that point, and we might want to run and hide in the darkness. But hanging out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, that seems a little extreme. It seems a little bizarre. And if we're honest, we have to admit that this parable is a little odd. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would someone kill someone who hands them an invitation to a wedding? Why would a king retaliate and burn down a city, only to go out into the ruins and invite those people to his party? And this episode with the improperly dressed wedding guest isn't easy to explain. Commentators are divided on what it means. And I wish I had an answer I could give you, but I don't. Instead, this episode of the oddly dressed person, well, I believe it is doing something different today. This odd part of an odd parable, I think, is pointing to who is the odd person today. Who is the oddly dressed? The ones who don't look like everyone else. And that just happens to be folks dressed like me. Because really, how often do we see people dressed in white robes? Now, I'm wearing a garment that has a name. It's only three letters long. It's called an alb, A-L-B. And they are basically one big piece of fabric that is draped and wrapped and folded in such a way to cover my body. Now, to keep it tight and give it some shape, I'm basically wearing rope that we give a fancy name and call it a cincture. And for many churches, this is the standard outfit that clergy and assistants in worship wear. So if this is your first time here at Christ Lutheran, spotting the people in the alb is a good way to know who is helping out or who might be helpful if you have a question. It's the simplest way wearing this alb to stand out at church. It's my uniform for Sunday morning. But this garment, which has become a standard garment used throughout the church, it didn't start out that way. In fact, when the early church began to grow and populate the Roman Empire around the Mediterranean Sea, the alb was the standard article of clothing that everyone wore. It was the jeans and t-shirt of the Roman world. Everyone wore an alb because that's what people could afford to wear. It's a very simple piece of clothing to make, and it's easy to maintain, and it's durable. So the poor, the middle class, the rich, they all wore a version of it. But those early Christians did something different. They took some new ones, which were white, and used them to clothe each person after they were baptized. The alb, the article of clothing that everyone wore, it wasn't special. It was ordinary. But it became sacred, blessed, and special. And it became a symbol that when the new Christian came out from under the waters of baptism, they were reborn. They were made clean. They were made new. Once God claimed them, they were changed. They weren't what they were before. And to show their newness to the world, they needed new clothes. So they got a new alb. The new Christian didn't get a designer gown or suit. They didn't get a jewel-encrusted cap or maybe some fancy shoes. Instead, they got what they knew. They got what they always wore. But it was newer and it was different. A symbol that even though they lived in the world, even though they were still here on earth, even though they would still struggle with sins and with what's doing what's right and listening to God's voice, they were now claimed by God. They were now spoken for by Jesus. They now were different than they were before. They were children of God, and now co-workers in the kingdom of God. They were now called to live a different kind of life, be a different kind of people, and see the world in a different kind of way. And they were called not to run away from the world, but to run into it, to love God, to love their neighbors, and to see the feast that God has given them and share that with everyone they meet. Now, in a little bit, we're going to witness something amazing. We're going to see four young men come up here dressed in white robes, and they'll profess their faith. Aiden, Christian, Dylan, and Mark, many of you know them. Now, they've been part of Christ Lutheran for a long time. Now, I've known them for a bit less. I wasn't here when they started the path towards confirmation. I wasn't here during the ups and downs, during the change in leadership and teachers, during the time when amazing, talented members of this congregation stood up, took over, and taught them, keeping this congregation's promise to walk with these four in their faith life and in their struggles, as they learn what it means to wear Christ's alb for all their lives. Now, it wasn't easy. It wasn't perfect, and it wasn't maybe the way all of us would like it to be. But the Christian life isn't perfect. The struggle to be faithful isn't easy. The journey we're all called to walk on is not simple. But these four witnessed something other confirmands didn't. They witnessed something other confirmands throughout the church rarely see. They saw members of this community stand up to the chaos, embrace them and teach them, and walk with them through the difficult times. Now that is community at its best. That is confirmation at its best. And what we all saw and continue to witness right now is the flowering of Christian community. These four could have given up, but they didn't. The community could have stepped back and not taught confirmation for a year. We didn't. And the gift the church gets is four new adult members willing to worship here, to profess their faith, and to take leadership roles that the church needs them to take. Confirmation isn't just something that happens to these four. Confirmation is a blessing and gift that changes all of us, because these four are spirit-filled, they are faithful, and they are co-workers in the kingdom of God, like all of us. Now, the alb I wear, the robe the acolyte wears, the robe the confirmands wear, they stand out today because they serve as a reminder of what we all carry with us. I invite you to look around at the people next to you. People to the side, to the front, to the back. Notice what they're wearing. Now, the clothing you wear might not be brand new. Could be jeans or shorts, khakis, maybe a skirt. And they might look blue or brown or all sorts of colors. But they don't show who we are. They don't show whose we are. They are merely coverings of human design. In the runway fashion show of our lives, each outfit we wear tells a different story. It tells a different situation we face, tells a different experience we've had, and tells a different story about what gifts we bring into the world. But covered over all of that is our collective all, an all that we don't put on, a cincture that we don't wrap around ourselves. This all, this gift, this signifier that we are marked with the cross forever, that's put on us each time we wake up by the one who we belong to, and that's to Jesus Christ. So how does life change when we see the covering that we are given each day? When we wake up, stretch, yawn, maybe brush our teeth or chase down that first cup of coffee, in our wake-up routine, in the midst of getting the kids out of the door, getting our makeup right, packing our bags, and making sure we didn't leave our car keys in our other jacket, in the midst of all of that, Jesus is there, putting his all around you and tying you in nice and tight. And in the messiness of life, in the juggling of everything that God calls us to, from being parents to being students, all our jobs, our family, our friends, our neighbors, all our responsibilities as the people of God, there are times when the way isn't clear. There are times when the bizarre seems to be the way it is, rather than an exception. There are times when life is like this parable from Matthew, the parable about a king, a party, and some kids showing up in the wrong clothes, where there might appear to be multiple answers to the way to go, or worse, each option we have just seems bad. There are plenty of times in our life where we just won't have the answers. We might just have questions, and that's okay. Because even in the middle of uncertainty, in the middle of crisis or failure, or when everything just feels like we got the worst luck in the world, we still got up. We still woke up. We still stretched and rolled out of bed. And while we got dressed, we were dressed by the one who is always with us, by the one who is always alongside us, guiding us, listening to us, and walking with us in our struggles. Because in the reality show of the Christian life, we've already been voted for. We haven't been kicked off the runway. We were once out, but it's a brand new day we're now in. And Jesus is walking with us through the thick and the thin, reminding us that he hasn't given up on us. Amen.